We invite you to stand for the reading of God's holy word.
Good morning. And happy Father's Day. Today I'll be reading Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is right, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
Recently, a father in the Boston area had a challenging situation while he was driving. He made a right turn on red, which is legal in the city of Boston, but his little boy was sitting in the car with him, and he somehow got a hold of his dad's telephone and dialed 911. Perhaps you heard. The dispatcher answered the phone and said, "This is 911. The line's recorded. What's your emergency?" And little Robbie said, "Daddy went past a red light. It was in the brand new car, my mommy's car." So that little boy turned in his dad on his dad's phone. And Mike Richardson later said, "I just kind of, you know, panicked for a second, but the story ended with smiles and there was no citation that was issued. But there is this idea of how you should keep your eyes on the road, for you never know what the backseat driver might do to you, especially when he has your telephone." But this is an interesting thing that little Robbie later told the newspaper, the Boston Globe. He said that if his dad were to run another red light, "I'll call the doctor so he can fix his eyes." And what this reminds us of is that parent-child relationships can be a little bit complicated sometimes. And sometimes you don't know what you're getting into with that newborn and the experiences that lie ahead for us in parenting as well as grandparenting. But what the Bible has for us to look at today are some words that are not complicated. They're simple and they're easy to understand. In the first verse of Ephesians chapter 6, we read, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." You couldn't find simpler words than that. The obedience that we're to offer to our parents is essential. It's the right thing to do. And what we discover in this verse is a very important phrase. It says, "in the Lord." So there are at least two things that we can get from this if we're talking about obeying in the Lord. The first thing is that God gave us our parents. God gave us these individuals who are to care for us, to shepherd us, to raise us up so that we can eventually one day take care of ourselves. And then secondly, we're to appreciate and express appreciation to our God for His doing this for us. He's given us these parents who have kept us alive, led us, guided us, told us what to do, taken care of all of our needs when we knew them and when we didn't know what our needs were. They were taking care of us. This week, my wife and I were so very blessed to be host and hostess to some longtime friends who are missionaries in Bangkok, Thailand, Jeff and Annie. They have six children. Their natural-born children are well into their 20s, and they were not present with them, but we had the privilege of hosting their three younger children. One is adopted from Burma, otherwise known as Myanmar, and the other two are from Uganda and in Africa, and they're beautiful children, and we had this opportunity to spend time with them in our home as they stayed with us for two nights. We ate meals together, played games together, had great conversations with them. And as I looked into the eyes of these adopted children, one of the things that struck me was how much they loved their mom and dad. Another thing that impressed me was how quick they were to obey their mother and their father. And I know that these three adopted children who came from some very tragic circumstances that were taken into their home and legally adopted by Annie and Jeff, they know that they are loved. They know that they are cared for. They know that every need in their lives has been met by these two extraordinary people who love God so very, very much that they left all of their family and took their lives around the world to a country where they have become a part of so many other families in the process. And these beautiful children are part of God's amazing story in their lives. And so when I think of them being adopted, I'm reminded of the fact that the Bible tells us that through the Holy Spirit, you and I have been adopted into the family of God. God has chosen to make us His children. And so for these two children from Uganda and this young man from Burma, I give thanks to God for them and for their family and for all the families that are represented in the room, because I know that we're doing what God has asked us to do. Now, Paul has written this set of verses to the Ephesians, but in his letter to the Colossians, the Apostle Paul says it just a little bit differently, and it's important for us to add this to the way we're thinking about families today. It says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Pleasing the Lord is a very important goal for everyone in the room. We want to please God with the way that we live our lives. So we are learning to obey authority by beginning with our parents. Throughout our entire lives, we will have to go along with the authority that's in our lives, whether we agree with it or not. And our relationship with our parents is the beginning point for learning how to obey authority. You see, the ultimate authority in our lives is God. I will please the Lord when I obey God. So I begin by obeying those people that He has placed in my life who have authority over me, beginning with my parents. I went to college with a guy by the name of Dave Stone, who is now the pastor and shepherd of Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. It's a large and amazing congregation. And Dave once told a story about being with his family, and he was on a missions trip in the Dominican Republic. And he comments about being in the Dominican Republic, and he said, "If you've ever driven in a developing country, you know how dangerous the traffic can be. Vehicles whiz past, coming within just a few feet of children playing close to the road." Dave said, "One night my son Sam was playing a game in his own little world in which he would zig and zag back and forth from sidewalk onto the narrow street and back. It was a heavily traveled road," Dave said, "but there was always loud music blaring and it was pitch dark. From about 10 feet away, I suddenly shouted, 'Samuel, don't move.' And immediately Samuel froze. About a second later, a moped zipped by, going at about 30 miles per hour with no headlights, right where Sam was about to step his foot. My six-year-old didn't ignore me. He didn't argue. He didn't blatantly disobey. I said freeze, and he froze. That obedience, it saved his life." It saved his life. When we please the Lord, it helps us. So we ought to obey our parents. And that's what the next two verses in Ephesians chapter 6 are saying. It says in verses 2 and 3, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." These are the commandments that Moses brought down from the mountain to the people of Israel. And so this commandment to honor your father and your mother has a promise contained with it, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, there are a number of ways that life will go well for us if we obey our parents: our health, our employment, our relationships. So many things in our life will go so much better for us because we have respected, honored, and obeyed our parents. And when we become parents, then the blessing is seen in a stable and grace-filled family. It's passed on from generation to generation. The attitude that we take with our parents should be the same attitude that we take with all people who are older than us. The Bible tells us how we're to treat people who are older than us in 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Those words should be on the heart of every person in this room. Because as we meet people who are older than us, as we talk with people who have lived longer than us, what the Bible clearly says is that we're supposed to honor them and to treat them with respect. We're supposed to do this because God has told us that He is going to bless us in our humility and oppose us. We can expect God's opposition if we don't respect the older generation. So it's clear from God's word what we're to do. Those who disrespect the older generation can and should expect opposition from God. Now, what we read in Ephesians chapter 6 is that the attention is shifting from what the children ought to do to what the parents ought to do. So in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 6, we read these very important words. They're extremely important words for fathers as well as for mothers. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. That word exasperate is very important. We exasperate our children by focusing all their attention on what we prefer, on what we want, on what we think they ought to do and everyone else. You know, the word for exasperation in the original language indicates that we are making our children angry by our behavior. Think about what makes our children angry by our behavior. Well, one is surprising our kids with rules they never knew existed. A second thing is to criticize them in front of their peers creates an awful lot of embarrassment for the kids. What about yelling insults at soccer referees while our kids are playing? It makes them want to hide under the bench. What are we teaching children? Are we teaching them our opinions and our feelings and our objections to everything that's going on in life around us? Or could we be teaching them something more important, something better to focus on? That's what this fourth verse in Ephesians chapter 6 is saying. It's saying, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. That's what we're to do. So in the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, we read these incredibly important words from God to you and to me. These commands I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Now, the idea behind the word talk in Deuteronomy 6 is that it's regular conversation. It's not talking about a formal presentation where a teacher stands behind a lectern and speaks to a child and expounds the Word of God. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's saying in the normal conversations that you have with your children and with your grandchildren, bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. So how do we do this? Well, after a Little League baseball game, you may have a child or a grandchild who's angry about the outcome. They're angry at the umpires. Your child is angry at the opposing team. Your child might be angry at his or her own teammates. And so after you've let that child blow off some steam for a little while, you say to them, okay, now you need to forget all about it, because the Bible says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. And so what you've just done is you've taught that child a biblical principle in the moment they most need it and in the moment it makes the most sense. Now, some people remember the Bible better when it's discussed in other real life situations. So when we're fishing at a lake with our children or grandchildren, we can stop and talk to them for a few moments about some of the miracles that Jesus did while he and the apostles were fishing. When you're eating dinner together with your children or grandchildren, we may talk to them about how it was that Jesus said that when we help people who don't have enough food to eat, what we're actually doing is we're helping him. We're serving him. And from that discussion, there might be a decision that follows in your family. Perhaps your family will decide to volunteer together at a food pantry. These are the kinds of things that happen when we simply talk to our children and share with them biblical principles in the day-to-day events of life. And that's what God is asking us to do in Deuteronomy 6. But another important way to bring up children spiritually is through prayer. One thing we can do for our children is to pray for them every single day. And this is a challenge that God wants us to respond to. Are we praying for our children? Are we praying for our grandchildren? Are we praying for our families on a daily basis? Because that's what God would like for us to do. In her book, The Power of a Praying Parent, Stormy O'Mardian makes so many incredibly helpful suggestions to us about how to pray for our children. And one of those suggestions is a suggestion that you might not hear in a lot of other books. She recommends that we pray that our children and our grandchildren discover how it was that God created them. What special and unique things has God placed in our children that come from God that we can pray will flourish in their lives? And so for that reason, she uses a verse that you can meditate on when you pray. And my encouragement to you is that when you pray for people, you should have your Bibles open. You should be meditating on a verse from God's holy word at the moment that you're praying. And this verse, I think, is so helpful from 1 Corinthians 2. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, mind has not conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. What that verse is saying, 1 Corinthians 2:9, is that mom and dad and grandma and grandpa actually don't know what God has prepared for that child. And so what we're doing is we're praying that God will help that child to unpack and open up the unique way that God has made him or her. We prayed for our kids, and we prayed with our kids. We started when they were preschoolers. And what was a blessing to me is that when our children became teenagers, they were still showing up in our bedroom every night right before they went to bed. They sat down in the bed expecting us to have a prayer at night together as a family before they went to bed. And so that's part of how they learned to pray, was simply by praying with their dad and their mom. And we know now that they pray for us because we made it an important agenda in our lives as a family to pray for our kids and to pray with our kids. Now, there is an evening prayer that's printed in your bulletin insert with the message outline. And it's on the back where you find the scripture, Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. This prayer is something that you could share with a child or a grandchild at night before they go to sleep. Father, we thank thee for the night and for the pleasant morning light, for rest and food and loving care and all that makes the day so fair. Help us to do the things we should to be to others kind and good, and all we do in work and play to grow more loving every day. As we pray prayers that our children can remember, they will be transformed in their prayer lives. Whether they're 5 or 8 or 12 or 16, they learn to pray from you and from me. And so it's important to pray with them every single day. And by talking about the Bible often and by praying together, the message that we communicate is this: our faith is daily. It's not just for Sundays. Our faith is leading us and guiding us through every moment of our lives, and it's not something that we simply celebrate on Sunday mornings. It's all the time. Now, finally, there's an important principle from the Proverbs, a verse that you know well. It's the 22nd chapter in the 6th verse where it says, "Train a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." First, what we observe is that training up children is a process. That's what training is. We don't accomplish it in 24 hours. It takes years and years and years to do training, doesn't it? Whether it's physical training or spiritual training, it takes time to train. And so parents and grandparents, we need to give ourselves time to raise up our children in the way that they should go. In training, we have our ups. In training, we have our downs. But we keep at it. Now, there's an expression in this verse that a lot of people misunderstand. But today you're going to know exactly what it means. It says the way. Train a child in the way he should go. Now, what we know is that there's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." We go to heaven by receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord, by confessing our sins and asking Him into our hearts, and then we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and the promise of eternal life. It happens to people at all ages, but it needs to happen to everyone. And so we're to share the gospel with everyone. But this word, train a child in the way he should go, is a very special and unique word. The word in the Hebrew language is used also in Proverbs chapter 30 to describe the way of an eagle, a serpent, a ship, and a man with a woman. And what that means is that the word for a way is a unique way. So what it's saying is, train a child in the way that God has made him. Train a child in the way that God has made her. That way, all children will follow God, but they will follow Him in the way that they were uniquely created to follow Him. This means that your child may not follow in your career path. This means that your child may not follow in your personality path. It means that they're going to follow God in the way that they have been created by God to follow Him. And so if we train children this way, when they are old, they will not depart from it. And the word for old does not mean 58 years old, which is me. It means when they're grown up. When they reach the point in life where they're taking care of all their own needs, they're paying all their own bills, they're living in all their own places, they will know the right way to go because of the way that you have trained them. You see, a child has a unique way that God wants him or her to go. One of the most important things a father will do for their child is to affirm him, to affirm her, to congratulate that child on their accomplishments. We're recognizing God's plan and encouraging that child in the way God has made him or her, whether it's music or whether it's art or sports or literature. Our children will follow and serve the Lord if we keep them on God's road, the road He's paving for them. How far will they go? How far will we go is perhaps a better question. Whether you're a parent or not, today as you're sitting here, you're asking yourself the question, how far will I go in life? And George Washington Carver said it so well. How far you go in life depends on your being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of the weak and the strong. Because someday in life, you will have been all of these. We're on a road. And for the journey, we need to do the right thing, or the little boy in the back seat may call 911. We need an objective source of truth. And so the psalmist reminds us that the word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Parents and children come together when the truth being taught is eternal truth. It's truth that's eternal, not simply my opinion, what I want out of life. The children who hear eternal truth will honor it, and the ones who are teaching them. So the family should reflect our relationship with God and our Father. We're His children in our families, in this church family. Let's honor our Father. We pray to You, Lord God, and thanks for fathers and Father's Day, and ask that our eternal Father would be honored by our lives through Jesus Christ. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is Faith of Our Fathers. If you're here today and you've made a decision in your life, a spiritual decision, a decision to join Mount Washington Baptist Church, we invite you to come forward during the singing of this hymn. If you have a need for prayer, a deacon or a deaconess will meet you at the front as you come forward to ask for healing. Let's all stand and sing together, Faith of Our Fathers. Thank you.